It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to have you in studio once again. Interesting series. We've gone through a couple of shows on the subject of pornography addiction. People can find those shows at your website. What's that website again?
BibleBasedCounselor.com.
BibleBasedCounselor. Lots of you've dealt with this subject in previous years. You've been dealing with this issue more, it seems like, during the pandemic. A lot of addictions have increased, and you wanted to revisit the subject of pornography addiction with this show this week. We are looking at successful treatment options, particularly groups. Are they helpful, like a recovery group of some kind, and some of the other methods that you advise?
Yeah, I prefer counseling as an approach, individual counseling. However, let's face it, not all counselors are equal, and not all counseling experiences are equal. And a lot has to do with how the connection between the individual and the counselor, the maturity of the counselor, the experience of the counselor, but also the relationship between the counselor and the person. So if it doesn't work out, it's not always the counselor. It's not always the person. Sometimes it's just that the chemistry isn't right. But I prefer individual counseling for because it's personal. I mean, you get to talk to that individual about that individual's specific history, triggers, difficulties, struggles. You can't do that. You don't have the time to do that in a group. And so,
but a group might be better than nothing.
A group might be better than nothing. And some people do better in groups than other people. Some people just aren't going to open up in a group. They don't travel fast enough in a group, and so it's not the best fit for everyone. Some people talk about groups as accountability. Now, there's an issue in accountability sometimes. You want to be accountable to someone for whom you would change. And a lot of times, accountability, we're accountable to someone who understands because they have the same problem. But are they a person for whom I would change? Or, I used to jokingly refer to promise keepers as secret keepers, because a lot of the fellows that I talked to that got involved in promise keepers weren't really doing much better, but they were talking about it.
At least they had some camaraderie and some common interests, common problem. Yeah. Well, I've heard that critique of 12-step groups is too much focus on the common sin that they all share. Mm-hmm. But we, as a Christian, and certainly in Christian counseling, we want to focus on a common salvation and a common way out, as opposed to just everybody kind of telling war stories, so to speak. Yeah. You know,
one of the problems that reminds me of when you mention that, Mark, is that the group can become a culture, can become an abnormal culture. And one of the reasons for reoffending a lot of times, and I've been involved on the outskirts of, I think there was one group called Pure Desire, I guess was one of the groups, and maybe it's still around. And it's a typical recovery program patterned after Alcoholics Anonymous, where you go through a process and you become a leader of people going through the process, so you're their contact, and then you succeed, and then you help others to succeed. But a lot of times the people become counselors, become leaders, and then they reoffend. They start drinking again, or they start looking at pornography again. And I think part of the reason for that is that the group becomes a culture, and it becomes an abnormal culture. And the thing about the reoffending is, it's easier to be a normal member in an abnormal culture than it is to be an abnormal member in a normal culture. Mm. So a lot of these groups, even in church recovery programs, you know, Celebrate Recovery, a lot of times, you know, people will openly talk about, well, I'm in the divorce recovery group, or I'm going to
overeaters,
overeaters or something. But there's shame in, associated with, well, I'm going to the porn group or the sex, you know. And so this becomes a culture where it's still segregated from the other cultures. And I still don't feel that I belong in the larger culture. I'm more comfortable in this smaller culture or the smaller population, which is the abnormal group, and I'm normal in the abnormal group, and so it's moving to the normal group. This is kind of like where the embrace of salvation and the forgiveness and the this a lot of times won't take place in some of these groups because people begin to feel that the group is this is who we are.
Yeah, it kind of reinforces that shame or that identity. And again, this is a problem a lot of Christians will have with even AA. You know, I'm John, and I'm an alcoholic, and people don't want to, they don't want to identify with the sin. You know, I'm a recover. You know, I'm a successful Christian, a victorious Christian. What do you think's going on there with identifying with your particular sin? Is that what's the reasoning behind that? Is it mainly? I've found that I think it's just people who they don't want to forget that they have a weakness in this area, and that's why they need to always put it forward.
Yeah, they want to always keep on their armor, always be on
guard.
And
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of some of the very successful men that I've worked with from Alcoholics Anonymous who would just come to me for coaching. They've been, say, in Alcoholics Anonymous for years. They love going. They love helping. And they just want some personal coaching. And so a lot of the things that I'm telling them are just reinforcing things they've realized on their own. But one of the things that realizing that it's not enough to just stop a bad behavior.
Yeah, you've got to have something.
You have to have something that you're passionate about and moving on to.
Yeah, a good behavior to go forward.
Yeah,
yeah. But although you wouldn't disagree with some of the foundational beginnings of that, any kind of change. Well, first of all, you have to admit you've got a problem. Mm-hmm. So many people don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
So you've got to admit this is out of control. Mm-hmm. I've got a problem. Secondly, you talked about in previous shows on this is. Addiction is a relationship problem. Mm-hmm. So you have to start to begin to have a relationship, whether it's with someone like you or a group or some person in your life that you're, you know, confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. I mean, that's a biblical idea.
Yeah, because as we talked before, one of the roots of this is the lack of a sense of value, the lack of a sense of control, the lack of the sense of power or resources. And if you need explanation on that, go back a couple shows. Again, I'll remind you, these are all on podcasts, so you can get back and see the full series here. But yeah, the lack of those things, value, control, and power. And so if the group experience isn't addressing those things, it ultimately is going to is not going to be ultimately the answer. So those things have to be understood and addressed. So kind of approaching this question of, well, do groups and programs, are they helpful? And I'm thinking primarily of situations where I've had where the husband has in the past had a pornography issue and either still does, but in some cases hasn't had a pornography issue for years. And for some reason, the wife is going to insist that he's going into some sort of a sex therapy program. Now, the issue here is that there are other things that are underlying this, and the program is not going to get to those underlying issues. There's two sides to the problem, and the program is going to assign the entire problem to one person, and you're never going to get to the root of the real problem. Particularly in cases where the pornography is no longer an issue, but if somebody's convinced that it is. So
somebody other than the person.
Yeah.
So in other words, the wife or the spouse, because it's not always, I mean, some women have struggles with pornography mm-hmm. addiction as well. So you're saying basically the reason these things fail is because a person is coerced into participating, which is often the case. I mean, I know that you did some stuff with anger management. Mm-hmm. These are people who were court-ordered right. to yeah. attend these kinds of meetings, right. and you found that those usually didn't really work.
No. For a lot of the reasons we've talked about, the programs didn't involve the critical ingredients. And really, they weren't designed to. One of the things we'll talk about here in this show will be that a lot of the programs and the tests that are given to assess whether a person has a problem or not, they're not morally based. They're based in, does the amount of pornography cause a problem in the person's life? So they're not, is it morally right or morally wrong? But a rule of thumb here is anything that increases shame is going to create further problems. And so it really, I'm not saying that these things are wrong, but you have to consider the specific situations, the individual. Not all individuals are going to benefit from these, and anything that increases shame, because remember, fear and shame are the root of addictions. Mm. And so anything that increases shame is going to increase the problem at some point. I have here a first point. If we have the above essential tools, and I think we went over those last week, so you'd have to go back and look at those, but they are basically things we need to understand, the roots of addiction. I explain these in detail in the show, so it's not enough just to get the highlights here. You'd have to go back and listen, but roots of addiction, the process of addiction, the cost of addiction. We went through the assessing the tremendous cost of addiction, the tools of management, whether they be thought management, behavior management, emotional management, and also addressing relationships. So if the program has those essential tools, it can be helpful, but not all do.
Mm-hmm.
And so one problem with the groups is, as we've kind of talked about earlier, is that they can lean toward quantity of process, that is many meetings together and many things, many ways to discuss, but not the quality, not the quality of the process. They're not really getting deep into the individual's life, and you don't really have time in a group setting.
Mm-hmm.
If the meeting is just, if sharing just becomes the objective, then there won't be, it's not going to contain all of those essential properties and factors. So we have a ways to go. I'll cover when we
okay,
come back.
More on the subject of pornography addiction and successful treatment approaches. People are listening. They have had problems with this in their life, maybe in their marriage or someone they know of is struggling, maybe a young person. You help a lot of people with this issue. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. I can be reached through that website. That's where you're going to find these shows and many others on the podcast. And offices, Kirkland and Edmonds, and also doing Skype counseling for people that are out there, transportation problems or scheduling difficulties.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel looking at the subject of pornography addiction and how to get out of this, how to make some progress. People need some hope. They need to have some measured success, and you want to try and offer some ways to get some success in this area.
Yeah, as we were talking before, like a lot of groups, they become discussion groups, and where they fail a lot of times is particularly with addictions like pornography, is they need to experience some measured success from the very start. You're going to get discouraged really quickly. And so measured success, you can't afford to just be in a discussion group. The efficacy is
kind of dumping your guilt.
Yeah.
Got to be more than that.
Yeah. So it's the failure is going to lead to more shame and as we described that before. So got to have some measured success. And as I said before, I prefer individual counseling, but people can succeed in these groups. Some people are wired better for groups. Some people are not. It's an individual thing. We also touched on this, kind of like without success in the group will collectively, some groups can collectively embrace failure. This is who we are. We're always going to be this way. And we talked about abstinence not being enough to provide a sense of value, control, and power, but you have to move forward. You have to create and you have to relate. And a lot of groups can't focus in enough on that. I would say groups in general can't, because I need to talk to an individual about what are you going to create? How are you going to relate? So those are things that need to be tackled head on and in very specific ways. Failure can also be manifest in different ways. Generally, failure will happen if one is most often will happen if someone is coerced into to participating. Sometimes people fail when they kind of refer themselves to a program or to a counselor. The hill they feel is a little too steep to climb. I had one person that started to talk about pornography, and I think we got into it for about three sessions, and then he was very discouraged because he said, "I'm still having to do the work," you know. And you do have to do the work. There isn't anything magical about things like taking every thought captive and laying aside sins and weights. There's nothing automatic about that.
With pornography, kind of two steps forward, one step back, or one step forward, two steps back.
It can seem that way, but it doesn't have to be. If people cooperate and if they're driven and if they're committed, they can see success very, very quickly. But if coerced, a person will often rebel inwardly, at least, and they'll either give up or they'll quit. And of course, then the condition worsens because the shame of failure, again, shame is driving the addiction. Or one will resent the spouse or the person who coerced them into the program. Mm-hmm. They might have some measured success, but if part of the goal of the program is deeper intimacy and trust and love in the marriage, coercing someone into a program might backfire because a lot of times they're going to resent the person that coerced them into it, sure. Much less in private counseling. This is going to recur much less in private counseling because the counselor one-on-one can form a bond with the client, even if sometimes the client starts off with resistance. There can be a bond that works, and that's not going to happen as often in a group setting. And since relationship is a necessary part of recovery, a program that brings strife into the relationship. So if I'm working with a porn addict, a big part of his recovery, assuming it's a man, a big part of that recovery is going to be healing the relationship between the husband and wife. And this goes back before the porn and outside of the porn issue, other ways that intimacy is being avoided.
So okay? It's never just the porn.
It's never the just problem. The porn.
It's connected to a lot of things.
It's connected to shame, things that are shame generating, fear and shame, lack of value, lack of control. Can be, you know, I ask, are you satisfied at your job, you know, in your church, in your relationship with God? Where are you not being challenged? Because the path forward is to create and relate. So the question, should my husband, I've got this in quotes because I hear it a lot, should my husband be enrolled in a certified sex addiction program? Again, anything that increases shame is going to cause further problems. So if you've got a person that's resisting it, I would say find another path. Find individual counseling. If you force a person into a program, for one thing, and it's increasing shame, and it's going to undermine your relationship with that person. You're not doing yourself any good at all.
Should they separate? Should a husband and wife separate until he's, you know, kind of gets his act together, so to speak?
Well, I think that assuming that there's a very evident porn problem, and of course it would just not be just looking at pornographic. Literature that would be the problem. It would be the breakdown of the relationship would be the other part. But if you can't get the person's attention, I think a spouse has to be able to say, put a line in the sand and say, you know, if you cross this line, this is going to be the consequence. So I think you have to be careful with that, because if the person cooperates, will there be love? I mean, the thing is, like, if two people don't like one another and one person is saying, you know, jump through this hoop and then I'll like you. Well, if the person jumps through that hoop, you better follow through.
Right.
But if you don't like the person anyway, then you have a deeper problem, which is probably feeding the addiction, right? So the certifications, I want to say too something about the certifications. The certifications, when a person gets at least a master's degree in counseling, they've studied abnormal psychology. They've studied sexual dysfunction. They've studied those things. They've got 2 years, at least 2 years, 2 to 3 years, and then they've got a year I forget the word, but you're practicing at a facility. And so these certifications are the equivalent of, most of them, no more than one more college class. And they don't necessarily uncover new information. A lot of them go into further into ethics, professional conduct, neurology. None of these are really directly addressing the moral issue of pornography. And as a matter of fact, they don't address the moral issue. They're more concerned with the health issues and does it disturb this person in the person's life? They don't address these are not Christian-based certifications. And
you're talking about what a counselor has.
Yeah, what a counselor has. Some people just go back for an additional education because it broadens their financial base. They can charge more money. Some of these certifications are forensic. They're benefiting you if you're working with sex offenders. Some of them are for enhancing sex within the marriage. So there's one certification that's called the Problematic Sexual Certification. It does deal a bit with pornography, but it's not so intense that it wouldn't have been something that was at least touched on in just the first. Just because it's a certified program doesn't mean that the person has a magic wand and they're going to be able to do something amazing. It really boils down to the relationship between the individual and the counselor.
As we wrap this up, obviously still a lot to discuss. People might want to call you. We'll talk about that in a moment. But as we wrap this up, what are some things that are good takeaways here for people who want to get treated for this?
So, yeah, just some pointers here, things to tuck away. Trust is a two-way street, and a lot of times when there's pornography and addictions, trust is at the root. I've written an article, The Love Triad. I think I've done a radio show or two on The Love Triad. Trust, forgiveness, and communion. Trust, one of these is a two-way street. And so the issue of trust is likely to be worse if the offender is coerced into enrolling into a program, again, the relationship between, in this example, the husband and wife, is part of the problem. And so if you coerce someone into a program and that causes more stress in your relationship, you're kind of sawing off the branch that you're standing on. So mm-hmm. that needs some caution. Best chance for counseling, and again, I prefer face-to-face counseling, but some people thrive in a recovery group setting, or at least that adds a lot to their experience. Not everybody's going to benefit. It's beneficial to do both. You can just get a lot deeper in personal counseling if you have a good counselor. So the addict needs to fully own the problem. I see sometimes where a husband wants to tell the wife or bring her into the problem. Yes, there's something about being open and honest, but it isn't for the other person to rescue you from your problem. You have to fully own the problem. A lot of times we're confessing the problem to make the other person somewhat responsible for our recovery. And that can't be. We have to fully own the problem. Mm-hmm. It's not someone else's responsibility. That's important. Recovering an addict needs a cheerleader to match his or her effort. They don't need more shame. Shame drives the addiction. They need a cheerleader, not someone shaming them. And the third one, it doesn't take years to overcome these addictions. You don't have to be in a program for 2 years or for life. It takes a desire, it takes a plan, and it takes follow through. And sometimes those things can come together in a matter of weeks or months, but certainly doesn't take years.
Well, that's a hopeful note to end on. This can be changed. You can get free of pornography addiction. Daniel obviously really believes in the personal accounting or personal counseling approach. And if you are struggling with this, you need some help. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find these three shows, this three-show series on pornography in the podcast area. You can also contact me through that website. Office is Kirkland Edmonds, also doing Skype for people that need to travel and have transportation issues or scheduling issues. Again, 425-778-6169.
Okay, always great stuff with Daniel Pryor here on the Sound Mind broadcast.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.